Blog Talk Radio.
Taken care of.
And then he said he wanted us to have mercy toward one another, and that we should, the Good Samaritan was a excellent example of that, where he not only had mercy, but he went above and beyond what we would probably ourselves do for someone. We might see to their immediate need. We might stop and help them out, but we probably would not take them to a hospital or to a hotel and put them up and then tell the people at the hotel, you know, give them whatever they want and make sure that, you know, all their needs are met. And here's some money to make sure of that. But if it's not enough, then I'll be back and I'll take care of, you know, whatever the balance is when I get back. And so the Most High is telling us in that, when we're showing mercy, that we consider, you know, the individual, their plight, what they're going through. That we put ourselves in their shoes and that we would do to them what we would want somebody to do for us. And so on tonight, we're going to be talking about faith. Because this is an area where the Most High said Israel lacked faith. And it wasn't faith in themselves. It was in him that they lacked, that they just didn't believe. So they were always coming up short or doing something other than the way that the Most High wanted it done. And so we're going to be talking about this third tenet of the weightier matters of the law. Faith, believing and hoping for something that we can't see, don't have possession of, but we believe we will. We believe it's going to happen. So, you know, everybody has to have faith that the Most High is going to do what he said he's going to do and actually believe it and walk in it. So that's going to be the topic for tonight. And I pray that somebody gets something out of it. I want to welcome everybody in North America and South America, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, on the African continent, in the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. With that being said, because I've had it's been a long day, and so we're going to go ahead and get into this. I want to set my mind on the Most High and his word, and just let him flow how he wants to flow on this evening. That being said, let me have the ladies to come. Well, before we do that, we do have a new moon coming up. It should be on the 13th. It'd actually be, the 13th, but we will celebrate it the night of the 12th. The night of the 12th, that will make it the start of the 13th. So we will do the new moon service, and that should be 5 days from now, so next Wednesday. We don't usually have a service on Wednesday, but it is the new moon, not on the night of the 12th, sorry. Next Tuesday evening, so instead of having newcomers class, we will do new moon service on that evening. All right, with that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father, we just lift you up, O Elohim, and we glorify you and we magnify your name on today, Father. And we bow down to give you glory and honor on this your day. And we honor you in it, Father. And let our mind be focused on you, Father. And Father, we need your attention. And we need your love. We need your touch on this evening, Father. Be with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. We just thank you even right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Our Father, we come before you. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the feet of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the feet of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commands. Now, Father, as we go to work into the kingdom, we ask that you smile upon this work and that you give us favor in all that we do. And you show how much that's precious name. Amen and amen. And for our scripture for this evening, we're going to read the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. Yah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, dwell in the house of Yah forever. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. And you show how much to express his name. Amen and amen. This is Yah's Shabbat. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. The sounding of the shofar.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
All right. Our reference verse for this series, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So we have covered judgment, and we have covered mercy. And on tonight, we're going to be covering faith. Okay? Faith. As a sub-scripture, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The substance, what motivates you to believe in something, though you don't have it yet, but you believe you do, or you believe you will. So your faith is the evidence you have something that you haven't seen yet. You haven't obtained it yet. Abraham looked for a city not built with hands. He had not seen the city. He had not ever visited the city, but he believed that he would and that one day he would see it. That was his faith. I know that Yah is going to bring me into the promised land. I know that he's going to bring me into his kingdom. Having not seen the kingdom, but he believed. And this is what the Most High wants us to have, the faith of Abraham, that we would obey his voice, that we would keep his commandments, that we would do what he said to do, that we would keep his charge, whatever it is that he tells us to do. Because we believe that he's going to deliver us. We believe that he's going to bring us into his kingdom. We believe there will come a day that we won't see death anymore. We won't see pain anymore. We won't have any more sorrow. We will be in paradise. This is what our hope is. This is what our belief is. Now, Israel, Most High said that Israel lacked faith. Israel lacked belief that what the Most High said he was going to do, that he was going to do. And so let's look at this. Because he's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, you are the law keepers in Israel, you are the teachers in Israel, and you have no faith. And you don't believe that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And they were always this way. They always, Israel, rather than counting on the Most High, always counted on themselves. So because they did that, then they didn't follow the Most High. They lack faith. So let's look at this, and then we'll come in and look at what we're supposed to do. But, you know, in order for you to correct mistakes, you have to first recognize the mistake and then correct it or not ever do it again. So let's look at our forefathers in this matter and what they did, okay? Let's go to Exodus, chapter 32. And I want us to understand that Israel had just, the Most High had just delivered Israel out of Egypt. They saw him part the Red Sea. They saw him do all the miracles to Egypt, even to the killing of the firstborn. And none of these judgments came on Israel. And so they have been delivered from Egypt, and now they are in at Mount Sinai. Let's see what they do. Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 1. In the word of the Most High reads, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed," now Moses, remember, in Exodus chapter 19, the Most High came down, and the people heard, all of Israel heard the voice of the Most High talking with Moses. And he said he let them hear so that they would believe that he was with Moses and that they would fear him. But then he gave Israel the Ten Commandments. He stayed on the earth 6 days. 6 days speaking with Israel. And then he called Moses up to the mountain to write down that he would give him everything that he had spoken to Israel to bring back to them. Now he's gone up on the mountain and he's gone 40 days. And we're going to pick the story up here. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us Elohim." Wait a minute. The Most High has delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. They have seen him split the Red Sea. And they crossed over. They saw the Egyptian army destroyed. They saw hail mixed with fire fall from the sky and not do nothing to them. They saw the dirt turned into light. They saw the Nile River turned into blood and all the water in Egypt turned into blood, but not their water. They saw the whole earth, all of Egypt, be dark, and there was only light in Goshen, where they were at. They have seen all these miracles. Said that he brought them to Mount Sinai so there would not be any strange gods among them, because they were worshiping the gods of Egypt before he brought them out. Don't think that our forefathers didn't worship other gods and that they only worshiped the Most High. No, they were worshiping Egyptian gods, and they had corrupted themselves in Egypt. But he brought them out anyway because that was his promise. And so they've seen these things. And then the Most High comes down, and they hear the trumpet blowing. And the trumpet blew so loud, and the earth was trembling, and the mountain on which the Most High sat down on was melting. And they became sorely, very afraid, that they were afraid to even go talk to the Most High. They said, "No, Moses, if we go talk to him, we're going to die. You go talk to him for us." But they heard the Most High speak. Put yourself in this situation. You have seen all this, and then you heard the voice of Elohim talking with Moses. You heard it. And he gave you directly his commandments. He calls Moses back up on the mount, and Moses has been gone for 40 days, and you're going to jump up and say, "Make us God." Wait a minute. Who you been dealing with all this time? Make us God, which shall go before us. The Most High been going before them as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And they still want the old gods of Egypt, the old Elohims of Egypt. I mean, this ain't even a month. A little over a month has gone by, and they have already forgotten the Most High. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. Now, they know he's gone up in the mountain. He's been gone a little over 30, 35 days, close to 40 days. And we don't know what's going to happen to him. Now, the thing is that they're following Moses and not the Most High. Think about that, because we don't know what happened to Moses. And he's the one that brought us up out here, and not the Most High. Make us gods that will go before us. Remember, Egypt worshiped a lot of gods. And every one of those gods that Egypt worshiped, the Most High used them to destroy Egypt. So less than 30 days after you've seen and experienced all this with the Most High, you want Aaron to make you some gods that will go before you. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be our Elohim, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, the people are claiming this. Aaron should have never, you know, made this golden calf. But understand that the Egyptians worship cattle. And if you look on there, you know, if you look at anything about Egypt, you'll see the head of the bull, sometime with a sun in the middle of its horn. That's what was a god of Egypt. So the people aren't just asking for a random god. This was a god that they worshiped in Egypt. And then make us one. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Now, I don't know what's going on with Aaron. I really don't. This always, when I read this story, and this is Moses' brother, whenever I read this, it still amazes me. No matter how many times I read this, how do you see these things? How do you witness? You are a personal witness to what the Most High did. You walk through the water on dry land, and you see the water as walls on both sides of you. I don't, you know, it's hard for me to comprehend this. I mean, even if you were the hardest sinner and unbeliever that there was, when is anybody going to ever witness something like that? You walk out and let's say you go to Lake Superior or Lake Erie, and the Most High causes it to split in two. And you get to walk from the United States into Canada through the lake, water towering above you on both sides. You know if it comes down, you're dead. And then you just forget that just happened. You forget that, you know, what you saw, what you witnessed. And you're thinking that golden calf that you used to worship is more powerful than the Most High. It boggles my mind. It really is hard for me to wrap my mind around that. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yah. Now, why is he equating this golden calf to Yah? That's what he's doing. We're not going to worship Ra, who actually this golden calf stands for. It's a feast to Yah. But he makes a molten image. And he's already been told, don't make no molten image of nothing in the heavens or nothing on the earth or nothing in the sea or nothing up under the earth. Don't make it and bow down to it. But here he goes. And then does what Christianity does, okay? And I think maybe this is probably why this has always bothered me or started to bother me once I realized it. Christianity takes something pagan and then puts the Most High's name on it, like Christmas. And then call it Christ, the power of the Most High, his servant. But it's pagan, and they tied it to him. This is what Aaron has just done, taken a pagan deity and then tied it to the Most High. So all these holidays that the world celebrates, the vast majority of them, they have tied to the Most High when he ain't got nothing to do with them. Now, maybe the Most High is looking at it like he did with Aaron. He didn't immediately punish Aaron. He didn't. And I never understood why not. But Aaron ends up not getting to go into the promised land. And he goes, and, you know, he dies before he can go over. But he dies because he tries to take the credit, like Moses, from the Most High. So maybe because he's given the Most High credit here, we're going to have a feast to Yah, that the Most High didn't punish him right away. But when here Moses said, shall we bring water out of this rock? And the Most High looked at like, what do you mean we? Then Aaron was set to die. And he told Moses, you are not going to go into the promised land. He won't take these people in. But it still boggles my mind. And it, like I said, it boggles my mind today because people will take, and they think it's okay to mix the world and pagan stuff with the Most High. That is all of the holidays that the Western world, the world celebrates. Christmas being chief among it. You know, we got the name of Messiah, or we got the title of Messiah in the holiday. And then, oh, we're going to celebrate his birth. No, that was tied to another deity. And so we can see Aaron doing the same thing right here. Here's the golden calf. We're going to have a feast of Yah. I said, I ain't that golden calf. So why are you putting my name on that? Okay, so he says they have quickly corrupted themselves. And Yah said to Moses, get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They had gone and made an idol and worshiping it. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, that they have made them a molten calf and have worshiped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, thee be thy God, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He's going to give this molten calf all the glory and honor that are due to the Most High. And so, you know, before I knew that Egypt worshiped calves, when I first started reading the Bible, well, why did he make this calf? Why was it that he made a calf? But that was a Elohim of Egypt. It just didn't pop up, let's make a calf. That is what the Egyptian worship. And even when Moses told them, you know, let us go 3 days into the desert and worship our Elohim, and Pharaoh said, hey, leave, you know, go just a little ways away. And Moses said, hey, you know, if your people see us killing the abomination, for your cattle are an abomination to us, to worship. We slaughter them and sacrifice them to the Most High. You guys bow down to it. What do you think your people are going to think about when they see us doing that? You need to let us go out of your sight. So seeing that and reading that, I understand where this golden calf came from. And they're going to worship the gods of Egypt. And Yah said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee of a great nation. So the Most High was, you know, he's hot. I'll start over, Moses. I'll kill every one of them and start over with you. And Moses pleads for them. But it's out of their lack of faith in the Most High and putting their faith other things in the gods of the world. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Because he said, Israel lacked faith. They were keeping the law, but he says, you don't do righteous judgment. You don't have the correct type of mercy for the right people. You have mercy on people that you know can have mercy on you. You have mercy on people that you think can do something for you. If you don't think they can do anything for you, you don't show mercy to them. And then you, just like your forefathers, lack faith. Yeah, you ought to keep my laws, but don't leave these other things undone. You need to do both of these. Keep my laws and keep these weightier things of the law. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe their fathers shall you send a man, every man, every one a ruler among them. So send your rulers from your tribe. Send them into the land to spy it out. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to take it from these people and give it to you. And Moses, by the commandment of Yah, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shamayu, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Agel, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Pelti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sadi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel; of the tribe of Asher, Sathur, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Naphbi, the son of Phashi; of the tribe of Gad, Geuel, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Yehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, which what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, and whether it in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as the men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anat, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Zoan was for the Egyptian priesthood. They corrupted themselves. Remember that Yah was an Elohim over Egypt. And the Zoans were his priesthood there. And so they're saying the city of Hebron was built 7 years before the city of Zoan in Egypt. So the city is very old because Egypt was very old. Okay? And they came up into the brook of Eshel and cut down from hence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon the staff. And they brought up the pomegranate and the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshel, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from them. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now I want you to understand, Moses, they go spy out the land, tells whether the people are strong, whether they're weak, whether the land is good, you know, producing plenty, or whether it's lean, like it's in like a famine. Bring back a report. Now, the report, no matter what they saw, their mindset was never supposed to be that they can't take it. Even if they came across fortified cities with you know, high walls and large armies, even if they saw the giants, the Anunnaki, they were giants. And he was a Philistine. And these guys were bigger than Samson. No matter what they saw, they were supposed to bring back and say, this is what we saw. But the Most High had already told them that he would give it to them. So their belief and their faith should have been that this is our land. And the Most High is going to, he's already said, he promised it to us. We don't have it yet, but we're going to have it. But what report did they come back with? And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them all the fruit, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us. And surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, we went and saw the land, and here's the fruit of it. It's good fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those are the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb sealed the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now that is the report that they also came back with, what Caleb just said. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giant, the son of Anak, which come of the giant. And we were in our own sight as there's a different set of giants. Goliath wasn't that big like that. Goliath might have been between 9 and 12 feet tall. These giants were huge, like 30, 40, and 50 feet tall. Some may be even taller. Okay? And so were we in their sight. We looked like grasshoppers compared to these people. And if you ever seen a grasshopper, you know, compared to a human, the grasshopper looks really small. And they're saying ain't no way that we can take this land. Numbers chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Y'all done brought us out here. He told us he gonna give us this land and we can't take this land. He done brought us out here to die. They made an evil report on the Most High is what they did. And they're saying that the Most High can't give them or deliver the land into their hands. It looked impossible. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the real estate, we wish to Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would Elohim we had died in the wilderness. We wish you would just let us die in the wilderness or let us die in Egypt rather than bring us to this place and against these people. That's what the people start saying. And they're talking against Aaron and Moses. And therefore has Yah brought us unto this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should be a prey. Underline this because watch what the Most High does. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Let's elect us somebody, choose us a captain, and let them take us all back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes, they tore their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search, it is an exceeding good land. And Yah delight in us. Then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against Yah, neither fear you of the people of the land, for they are bread for us. They are, you know, they're for us to consume. Their defense is departed from them, and Yah is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. All the people said, stone Caleb and Joshua. And Moses and Aaron, stone them with stone. And the glory of Yah appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now Yah had heard all this. Now I want you to hear what Yah said. Pay attention to this. And Yah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. How long before they believe that I am the only Elohim? How long are they going to provoke me through unbelief, through lack of faith? Fight them with pestilence and disinherit them. The people don't believe that they can lose their salvation. But if the Most High can disinherit Israel, he can disinherit you from your salvation in Messiah as well. And disinherit them and will make of thee a great nation mightier than they. And Moses said unto Yah, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in the smite from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou art that thou, Yah, are among this people, that thou art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. The Egyptians have heard this, and they're going to tell everybody that they know that you are with us. Now, if you shall kill all these people as one man, if you're going to treat them all the same and kill them all, like you would kill a single person, a single man, then the nations will have heard the fame of thee, will speak, saying, because Yah was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Yah, the Egyptians are going to tell people that. You took these people out of their land. They were their slaves. And you weren't able to bring them into the promised land, so you killed them all. And now, I beg you, let the power of my master be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, Yah is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. So he forgives iniquity and transgression when it is ignorant, but by no means clearing the guilty. The guilty are those who did it knowingly. This is the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. As thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. But remember, they came out of Egypt corrupt. And Yah brought them out of Egypt. He said, hey, you've been forgiving them all this time. Keep forgiving them. But don't let the guilty go free. So watch and see what Yah said. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to your word, Moses. I'm going to use your standard on this people. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, they saw what I did. And they still have tempted me 10 times through unbelief and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. And neither shall any of them provoke me to see it. In other words, this is a wrap. I don't care how much they cry. I don't care how much they moan. I don't care how much they repent. I don't care how much they say I'm sorry. They're not going to provoke me to allow them to see the land. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow, turn around and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Tomorrow, all of y'all, because of your unbelief, turn around and head toward the Red Sea, back into the wilderness, not going into the promised land. Go toward the Red Sea. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now remember, they said, we wish that you had let us die in Egypt. You have brought us out here to make our children pray for the enemy. What I mean by pray, I don't mean like P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, like they're going to be killed by the enemy. You have made them a prey for the enemy. So he says, I'm going to do unto you according to your word. But your children are innocent. He says, so say unto them, as truly as I live, saith I, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness because of your unbelief. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Say, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Those the only two that are 20 years old, that are older than 20, that's going to go into this land. Everybody else, including Moses and Aaron, their wives, their brothers, if they are older than 20 years old, they ain't going in. Only Caleb and Joshua out of those people are going to go in. But your little ones, which you have said shall be a prey, that you know, I brought them out here, that the enemies would be able to take them and kill them or do whatever they wanted with them, them will I bring in. And they shall know that the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. You wish you had died in Egypt? You wish you had died in the wilderness? That's exactly what's going to happen to you. Because you didn't believe. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And the number of the days in which you shall search the land, even 40 days or a year, you shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know. Now, read this carefully. And you shall know my breach of promise. Y'all said, y'all didn't cause me to break my word to you. I got to break my promise now. I promise to bring you all into the promised land. And y'all going to make me breach my own word. Break my own word. Break my own promise. When I first read that, it blew me away. Because I had never read it that way. You're going to cause me to break my own promise. So my breach of promise, you shall know it. I'm not bringing y'all all in now. I have promised every man, woman, and child that came out of Egypt that they would enter into the promised land. And I would have saved you all. None of you, we would have went to war and none of you would have died. But all of you that lack faith, who murmured against me, I want to break my promise to you. I'm going to breach my own promise. They just blew me away. And so know that you can become so reprobate. And not believe the Most High. Not believe his word. And he break his promise. I told you I was going to do this. But now because of what you're doing, I'm not going to keep my promise to you. So you shall know my breach of promise. I, Yah, have said it. I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring an evil report upon the land, died by the plague before Yah. They died right then. They didn't get to walk around 40 years. All you that brought this evil report, whatever that plague was, they died right then because they didn't have faith in Yah. And they're supposed to, these were, remember, these were all the leaders of the different tribes of Israel, the different families. They died because they bought up an evil report and they didn't believe that Yah could deliver the land to them because they lacked faith. They didn't believe. We don't see how we're going to do this. It ain't possible. Yah said he's going to give it to us, but we're just going over there to die. Now, I want you to see how the rest of these people react. Because this is what people do. 38. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. The other ones died. These two lived, Joshua and Jephunneh. The other 10 died right away. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel. And the people mourned greatly. Oh, man, we done messed up. We done followed these fools, and now the Most High mad at us. And we believe these men over the Most High. And they now look and see what they're going to do. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. Here we are. It's like y'all saying, yo, here we are. And we'll go up into the place which Yah has promised. For we have sinned. We're going to go up there because we have sinned. What was their sin? They didn't believe the Most High. He told us we could have this land. He promised it to us. We didn't believe it. But now we believe because we didn't believe before, and we're going to go take the land. But he already done told them, ain't none of y'all going into this land and living. I done already told y'all to get back to the Red Sea. So now they're going to be disobedient. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of Yah? The commandment is get your behind back to the Red Sea. You are not going into this land. I'm not taking you into it. But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for Yah is not among you. Because see, they thought it was all them, but Yah said, I'm going to deliver. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to run the inhabitants out of it. That you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites, and remember the Most High said, the Amalekites are in the valley. Yah get, because this is who they were going to go up against first. So Yah get back to the Red Sea. Don't go over there. Because I'm not with you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you are turned away from Yah. Therefore Yah will not be with you. See, and when we don't believe the Most High, when we falter in our faith, when he tells us something, if we don't stay faithful to it, then we become like our forefathers in the wilderness. And then when we realize that we started doubting and we want to run and try to do that thing anyway after we have said, no, we can't do it. And we realize, oh, man, you know, Yah told me to do that. I really believe that the Most High put that in me. It don't look like it can be done. It looks like everything is coming against it. And you start to lose faith, start not to believe. That doubt is what the Most High doesn't want. You don't want that. And this is what when we doubt like that, he says we provoke him. We provoke him to anger because we disbelieve what he told us. And maybe we start doubting whether he told us. But he wants you to keep the faith that you always had from the very beginning. He wants you to know that you know that you know and you're not going to give up on it. You're not going to say, you know, it's not the will of Yah. And he wants you to keep believing. And then if you stop believing and then realize that, hey, I lost faith. Let me go and return to do this. God said, because you stop believing, I'm not with you anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore right now. So if you run over there like these people did, we're going to run over and run into the promised land. We're going to take what was promised to us. But Yah has already told them, don't go over there. Y'all have pissed me off. Y'all have caused me to break my promise to you. Break my own word. Because my breach of promise, you're going to see it. My breach of promise. That's powerful. Because you lack faith, you caused me to break my word towards you. Now I'm not with you. And see, a lot of times we do that with the Most High and try to run back and do what he told us to do, only to fall flat on our face. And maybe we don't die, but whatever we were trying to do, it don't work. And this is what the children of Israel are doing. So Moses is saying, hey, y'all going to break the commandment of Yah. It wasn't any of the Ten Commandments he gave them. It was the commandment to go back to the Red Sea. And you're going to walk in this wilderness 40 years. Yah had already spoken on it. Oh, no, Yah, we know we messed up. We have sinned. We're going to go and take the land now. We believe you're going to give it to us. So y'all can take y'all behinds over there if you want to, but I ain't with you. And where none of y'all would have died, they're going to be killing y'all. So verse 43 again. But the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from Yah. Therefore, Yah will not be with you. But they presumed, this word presumptuous, they presumed to go up the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of Yah and Moses departed not out of the camp. Because the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to go before the people all the time. That would be Yah going before the people. Yah killing what needed to be killed in front of them. Whether it's by hailstones, whether it's by flood, whether it's by insects, Yah would deliver it to them. But the ark didn't go. And Moses didn't go, so these people went on their own. We can take it. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites, which dwelt in the hill, and smote them and killed them and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. So from the very beginning, Israel was showing a lack of faith in the Most High, in what he was going to do. And Messiah said, hey, y'all learned to keep my law, but y'all really didn't learn the spirit of the law, and you weren't keeping it in righteousness. You weren't using righteous judgment. You weren't really being merciful. You were playing favorites, taking advantage of the widows, not giving a damn about the fatherless or the strangers like I told you to do. You create your own laws to take advantage of those people. You write your own laws to tell their children to disobey the parents. Telling the parents they ought to be grateful that they just had you. And that you didn't have to do nothing for them. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They lacked faith. They didn't believe the word. They didn't believe the things they were supposed to do. A corrupted judgment. They had a false sense of mercy. Have mercy on people who, hey, you can do something for me. I stretch your back, you stretch mine. But if you couldn't do nothing for them, no, the full penalty of the law, whatever it is, throw them in jail, kill them, beat them. They can't do nothing for me. They're worthless. He talks about them not having faith, believing everything that the Most High said that he would do, he would do it. Everything he had the prophets to say. Everything that when Messiah came that he told them. They didn't believe any of it. That's why I said, when I learned that the temple itself, when the Most High sent them back out of Babylon, that he did not send the mercy seat with them. He did not send the Thummim and the Urim and the Thummim with it, the two rocks that were supposed to say yes or no when they inquired of the Most High. So there's no way that they could have been doing, performing the Day of Atonement. The mercy seat was not even in the Holy of Holies. They could not get atonement. The things that were required to get atonement weren't there for 500 years. And so for 500 years, rather than them falling down on their face and saying, Most High, we have no way to atone before you. These things that you have told us are required, we don't have them. And on the Day of Atonement, every year, they just went in there and faked the funk. High priest went in there and pretend that he sprinkled the blood on the Holy of Holies, on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat. And we'll come back out and say that the Most High had extended mercy to them for another year. It was a lie. That's why when Messiah came, he had to be born sinless. He had to not sin. There was no way to make atonement in Israel because of their lack of faith. I knew what he was going to do. And instead of them being real, they made stuff up. Think about that. The only way that you can make atonement is with the mercy seat. And the atonement, the blood being thrown on the mercy seat and on the altar of prayers, they didn't have those things. And the Most I knew they didn't have them. And they just faked it. So, a lack of faith. Yeah, you know where these things are at. You know that you had Cyrus and Nebuchadnezzar to keep these things. They are required for our atonement. Have them to deliver them to us that we might serve you in spirit and in truth. They were worshiping the Most High in a lie. Clean it up. Doing what our forefathers have always done. Not have true faith toward the Most High. And Messiah called them on it. Let's go to Numbers chapter. No, let's go to 1 Kings. No, that's too many verses. Go to the New Testament. I think we get the gist of it. I could go probably find another 6 or 7 things where Israel showed, our forefathers showed a lack of faith through the judges, through the kings, all the way up to Messiah. They just always lacked faith. They always lacked belief. You had a few here and there that believed, but the vast majority of the time, they didn't believe. Until they got sent out into captivity, and then they would repent, and they'd come back, and then the next generation be right back in the same condition, not believing the Most High. So let us go to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. As true believers, as the true saints of the Most High, we have to have the faith of Abraham. And see, the faith of Abraham was not simply that he believed. As people think that, oh, I just got to believe. But do you truly believe if you don't obey? I would say no. You don't. You, how can you believe, know and believe, and then be disobedient? Abraham obeyed. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession, the confession of our faith, without wavering, without doubting, without, I believe, I don't. I believe, I don't. That's wavering. For he is faithful that promise. So let us confess our belief without wavering, without doubting. Why? Because the one that promised us, he's faithful to his own word. The only one that can make Yah change his mind concerning you is you. Through unbelief, just like our forefathers caused the Most High, he says, you have caused me to breach my promise. You have caused me to break my promise. How? By wavering, by not believing. Yah, the same today, tomorrow, and forever. So we cannot waver. We can't be like our forefathers or the children of Israel in the wilderness. And Yah has promised us something and we don't believe it. And every time a challenge comes up, we complain about it. But see, you can't even complain because he calls it murmuring. I don't want you to complain. I want you to stick to know and believe me, even in your tribulation, even in your hard times, that I told you I would do this for you, I will do it. And because if it don't happen in our time or things get worse, we start doubting. We start wavering. But we're to do it without wavering, without complaining. Because he accused the children, how many times is the, I've heard your murmurings these 10 times. I was testing you. I brought you all into the wilderness and let you walk for a few days without water. I let you walk for a few days without eating to see what you would do. And every time you complained, you murmured. He said they did it 10 times. Never passed the test. We don't want to murmur against the Most High by complaining, by not having faith or believing that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Even if it don't look like it, you got to continue to believe he's going to do it and not doubt it. Even if you thought it should have happened already, just don't doubt. Don't wait. Just continue. You have to show your faith being consistent in righteousness. And not in simply living your beliefs. You see, a lot of people think that it's like that. You know, I'm faithful and I'm consistent. I live the way I believe. But what if you believe in a lie? That's why I said you always have to do it in accordance with the word of the Most High. Because if your belief contradicts his word, then you don't want to be consistent to that. Well, we have to always search ourselves, make sure that our values are coming from the Most High, what's written. So we have to adhere to his commandments. His commandments have to be what give us our values. Not what we personally believe, what we personally think, but what he says. Consistently doing it. Consistently being righteous. Not in our own eyes, but in the eyes of Elohim. Every day. Go to Revelation chapter 2. What time is it? 7:34. The book of Revelation chapter 2. Let's get verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And we've already talked about this before because in the same chapter it tells you if you're an overcomer, if you find the straight and the narrow gate, then you overcome. Then you're going to sit in his throne, in his power, in his authority. And you will rule with him a thousand years. Okay. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You know, I found that a lot of people are really afraid of suffering. No, Most High, I can do anything but suffer. I don't want to suffer. Not even for you. I can't remember how many people I've talked to that this is their number one fear, suffering. But he says, don't be afraid of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. If it costs you your life, don't fear it. And I will give thee a crown of life. He says, now to him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Second death. Won't ever be subject to the second death. We'll make it up, will rise in the first resurrection and won't be subject to the second, to the white throne judgment. You would have already received your reward. You got resurrected. You will reign with him 1,000 years. You're not going to lose any of that, and you won't be subject to the second death. But if we can't suffer with him, if we fear death, he may or may not disinherit us. If we take the mark of the beast, we definitely going to get disinherited. If you don't take the mark of the beast, and let's say you live a righteous life, but you didn't have to suffer, because you were afraid of suffering, you didn't want to give all that, say you still get your reward, you still get the crown of life. And 100-fold of whatever you gave up. That's your reward. 100-fold of whatever you gave up. But you're still subject to the second death. Fire. See, there's a lot of things within that. I won't go into them tonight. But just be faithful even unto death. And most of our problems is fear of suffering. But it's directed from our Messiah. Be faithful unto death. Believe. Walk in it. Let your actions reflect it. Had a lot of us that we knew the COVID shot wasn't a good thing to take, but we took it anyway. Out of fear. Fear we're going to lose our job. Fear we're going to get sick. You know, man's got the cure. And so if we will be afraid in a little thing like that, what do you think is going to happen when stuff really hits the fan? Save our own life because we walk in fear and not faith. Even unto death. Got to know that you know, even though you don't really know, but you got to know. Not something that you've experienced. None of us have ever given our life literally for the Most High or anything else. I think the scripture says that most of us haven't even been tested unto blood, meaning that anybody ever hit you in the head with a rock because you were serving Messiah? Or threatened to kill you and take your life because you were serving Messiah? He said you haven't even suffered unto blood. But want to rule with him. Want that crown of life and want to sit in his throne. But didn't want to die for him. Most I can serve you as long as it don't hurt. Please don't require me to do anything like that. Because I don't think I could do it. That's the prayer. When he said, hey, spirit them not, even unto death. We've got to have that kind of faith. I'm willing to give my life for this. I'm willing to lay down my life for the kingdom's sake. It's the kind of faith that he wants. Israel didn't have it. Messiah gets on them about it. Go to Galatians 5. And we're going to be getting verses 22 and 23. And just think about how Messiah operated and what he always asked. Would he always ask anybody that he ever healed, do you believe? Faith. When the Roman centurion came to him with his servant being sick, he said, you don't even have to come to my house. Just give the order. And I know, I believe that my servant shall be healed. You ain't got to come. I said, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. Just believe. You say it, it's going to happen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Faith in that the Most High is going to do what he said he's going to do. That he's faithful. That he will, if you give your life for the kingdom, he will resurrect you in the last day. That if it's not your time and he wants you to do a work, he's going to keep you safe in that work. If you get bit by a serpent, it's not going to hurt you. That includes the wiles of the enemy, the devil. You won't be afraid by the Spirit of the Most High. That's a fruit. And so you'll walk in that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And things that you thought you never could endure. Because you believe him that is faithful. That is your strength. Hope we can hear this. Now, the Most High says, he loves, let's get this. Let me get this first. Stand. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. The book of Proverbs chapter 8, and then we're going to go to Lamentations. And this will do it for this evening. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Always remember this. I love them that love me. I love them that love me. This is the Most High speaking. I don't love them that don't love me. I love them that love me. And if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And Tori says, I love them that love me and that keep my commandments. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Say you love me and do not what I say to do. How do you say you love me and don't keep my commandments? So if you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. No matter how much you say you do, you don't. and I love them that love me. I show mercy to them that love me and keep my commandments. Lamentations, chapter 3. Remember that the Most High doesn't love everybody. Never has. Especially those that are disobedient. Lamentations chapter 3. We will stop here for this evening. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of Yah's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When we obey his voice, remember, let's get this, because I don't want anybody misconstruing this, because people will twist this word all the time. They will use it in a way that he says he doesn't say. He doesn't give it to us. We just want to make it what we want to make it. Go to Exodus. And we'll kind of want to make sure. Go to Exodus chapter 20. And let's get verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. These are graven images. Nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I show mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Back to Lamentations. Chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. He has mercy on them that love him. So mercy, his mercies aren't consumed. By his mercies, we're not consumed, because his compassion fails not. But he has mercy on them that love him, not on everybody. Not because we say we love him, but because we obey him. That's who he shows mercy to. And they are renewed every day. Because if we love him and we're obeying him, we're not going to intentionally sin against him. If we sin against him in ignorance, then he is merciful. And he forgives us every day. As long as we're not doing it deliberately, willfully, he forgives us. As soon as we do it willfully, even in the New Testament, he tells us, once you sin, after you've come into the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice. There is no blood for that. It's harder than when it was in Torah. It's the same thing, but people want to believe that they can just use Messiah. And Messiah, you know, he's their sin ATM. I just say, I'm sorry. I'll confess that I was wrong, and it's all good. No, he said, you don't love me. Matter of fact, you hate me. You say you love me, but you don't. And I don't love you. I love them that love me and keep my commandments. That's not Brother Miles saying that. Brother Miles is reading the scriptures to you. He wants you to have the faith to believe that he is faithful and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, even when it doesn't look like it. You're not to wait. You're not to doubt. Even unto death. That's asking a lot of you. But he is Elohim, and he can ask what he will. This is my standard. There's nothing you can do for me and everything that I can do for you, even to bring you back from the dead. You got to be able to believe that and to walk in it. These things, faith, that what I say I will do and what I say I will not do, I am faithful to my own word. And if you walk in my promises, unless you do something to cause me to breach my promise to you, like your forefathers did, you just took me to the end of my patience, and now I got to break my promise to you because I'm not your fool. Believe me and don't doubt. So, walk in the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed and didn't doubt. Abraham was faithful and kept the commandments of the Most High, did what the Most High told him to do. And he did this before he was ever circumcised, that all the uncircumcised people in the world could come to the Most High out of faith. Won't cancel out, the law will not cancel that promise out. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you, I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Believe him, even when you can't see it. Don't doubt it. Even unto death. And Messiah said he will make it all good. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning.
can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect,
brother and sister Mal. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, my sisters. Happy Sabbath, and enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll see you guys in the morning.
You too. Okay.